Here now for the second time, winners of the Peabody Award, Bob and Ray.
You're not doing it right, Wally.
Well, it's confusing to me.
Well, at least you're not saying we're two characters of many zany things.
Here now are two characters of many characters.
No, please. We've all heard that. Well, anyway.
Well, here's the Bob and Ray show.
Right. And you're Bob Elliott sitting there very quietly.
Yes, I am.
And I'll be Ray Goulding then, because that's the choice left, right?
And this will be our theme. Starting with Pierre Chateaubriand, our conductor, yesterday after the show, he was saying he doesn't think we let him play enough of that. He doesn't have a chance to show off musically all he can do.
Well, he probably is correct, because I think rarely do we permit more than 10 or 15 seconds of that to go.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre, I think maybe before the end of this year, we'll play that in its entirety. What do you think
of that? That's a good idea. I think that would...
You know, I don't know whether you've noticed, but there's a little difference. Oh, wait a second. Here comes Kerviers. Hey, good to see you, Kerb. Kerb, you remember, is CBS's staff accordionist or morale builder, who goes from studio to studio, office to office, floor to floor, serenading those workers hard at their tasks.
I wondered if I could put my accordion down just a minute and chat with you fellows today.
All right, Kirby, sure. I think it's been the first time we've had an opportunity to really talk to you.
Well, I just...
Did you ever get your shirt caught in the pleats of that accordion? I've often wondered about that.
Many people have asked me that before.
Yeah.
I never have.
What do you tip the scales at, Kerb?
I weigh 179.
179. Well, that's about right for your size. 3 feet. What is it, 8?
Yes.
About? Sure.
7.5.
3 feet, 7.5. Did you have a nice...
Everybody's making up their Christmas lists these days.
Oh, I imagine they are. And do we have your name spelled right?
A-Y-R-E-S.
No, we have it A-I-R-E-S, like an heirs.
Well, it doesn't matter much.
It'll get to you anyway.
Yes.
A-Y-E-R-S,
I'm told.
Well, that's the way Lou spells his name, so how could you spell yours that way, Kerb?
What?
I say Lou...
Lou who?
Lou Ayers spells his name that way, but how could you do it? Oh, I suppose, are you anywhere relation to Lou?
Not that I know of, no.
Jimmy? No.
Heard of him, yes.
Yeah, he's in the movies, you know.
In the movies, yes.
Mm-hmm. Kirby, you're old now.
I believe he plays the accordion.
You're practically in your dotage, aren't you? Where'd you get those high button-up shoes? I haven't seen those since I was up in Maine.
They're very comfortable, oddly enough.
They look
a little more work to when you get dressed in the morning.
See, you've cut out a little bit of the side of my little toe there. What's that?
That's a bunion there.
Oh. Well,
I do a lot of walking in the course of the
day. Sure you do. Okay, Kirby, we should run along now because we have to get along to important things.
Right on.
Not that this wasn't important.
Always glad to brighten your day.
Right.
Cheer you up a little bit.
Wonderful little morale builder, Kirby Ayers. Now, Wally Ballou is standing by in a small town where he's all set to talk with somebody, I'm sure, of importance there. So come in, please, Wally Ballou.
Sing on the main street of Sweetwater, Vermont, where preparations for Christmas 1959 are well underway. Christmas, not only in the matter of people shopping busily from store to the other store, but the decorations that are going to make this town stand out as one of northern Vermont's most picturesque, scenic places to visit. I'm going to chat with a couple of passers-by here, if I can. Do I have enough wire there, engineer, to move down the block a little way?
Yeah, about enough to go down the block.
Seems to be a crowd of two or three people down there near the front of the drugstore, and I wonder if I can speak to you, sir, on the radio.
All right, sure. Fenton Smith.
Mr. Smith, you're a native of Sweetwater, are you?
No, I'm a native of Bellows Falls, and I moved over here many years ago.
Certainly was a good choice on your part.
Well,
if you had to make a move,
I will not let the folks at Bellows Falls.
No, well, we plan to cover that portion of the territory sometime soon, too. But we did want to ask something about these decorations, or the decoration that's going up here in the center of Sweetwater. Could you tell us anything about it?
Well, we were this year handicapped by a low budget. The Board of Selectmen here in Sweetwater got together week Tuesday and said that they didn't think that we should spend too much money on our Christmas street decorations. Now, being chairman of that board, I heartily agreed.
Would you excuse me
now,
just a minute?
What has happened?
Would you excuse me just a minute while I tell Bob and Ray back in New York they have no promotional announcement for this show, and they better start looking for it. Now, what were you saying, Mr. Smith?
I was saying that I went along with the idea that we ought to cut little expenses, but they went further, and they cut it to the bone. And I'm a little shocked to being chairman now of the Decoration Committee to be confronted with this problem.
You mean the Board of Selectmen?
They gave me 50 cents to decorate the town.
Well, how could you possibly decorate?
Well, you can. I went down and I bought some icicles, and I'm going to put them on the red light up here.
Some of those tinsel paper, I
suppose. That's it, and that's about the end of it. And every once in a while, I have this little bell, and when I'm on duty here at my store, I own the store.
Oh, fine.
If I see a car go by, I'll go out the door and do that.
How many times a day would you say you ring that little bell, like?
Well, of course, if I'm making a prescription, I won't.
You don't bother with it.
I'm just not going to bother. But if I'm standing around looking at the book display, for instance, those paper books,
yes,
and I see a car coming, then I might shoot out and ring the bell as the car goes by.
I think there is a car coming way down the end of the
I'd like to hire a high school kid, put him in here, but I don't think I can afford to do that.
Well,
wait a minute, there's a car going by.
Yes. There's Mr. Smith ringing his bell as the car goes by, and in a fine gesture of Christmas spirit here in Sweetwater,
Vermont.
Merry
Christmas to you, Mr. Ballou, and to all your friends back in the big city where you come from.
That's New York, sir.
Yes.
And Merry Christmas to you, and I hope we'll get up here again soon.
Good.
Now this is radio's Wally Ballou, two-time winner of several Diction Awards in a row, returning you to New York.
He's in trouble again on that several times in a row and all that.
Self in trouble.
Yeah. Gee, we have some bad news. Natalie Attard is sitting over here just nodding, and she can't say anything because of her throat. She has a sore throat, laryngitis or something, I guess. Is that it?
Not going to be able to do a song say today, Nat?
She's nodding no. Well, Eddie is here, and Eddie, according to this note that she's handed me, you're going to say a
I'm
song
going to try to fill
yourself.
Natalie Attire's shoes.
Well, that should rather be easy. She wears, what, about a 5, and you must be 11
big
and a half.
Them, yeah.
You've got real big dogs. But I know what you meant is only figure of speech. I hardly doubt if you can fill her shoes.
Well, I'm going to try.
Okay, well, let's
try. I think you have a word first, don't you?
Oh, all right.
Gifts that buy yardie, almost Christmas, no time to lose, lots and lots of gifts to choose.
Is it too late?
Hardly.
Give him,
give her a gift set a yardie.
For the man who's just a little choosy, there's a wide range of all-new Yardley gifts from $1.50 to $10. For instance, there's the after-shaving lotion and cologne combination, just $2.65. And there's the big, handsome set of shaving foam, invisible talc, after-shaving lotion, and cologne for $5.50, all prices plus tax. Yardley at all fine stores.
Give him,
give her a gift set.
Boy, when he hears Pierre, that is a rich arrangement like that, doesn't
that's
he bristle with jealousy?
Oh, yeah. Just stands there with a frown on his face.
Oh, come on, Pierre. You could do the same thing if you worked, hard enough. Or I guess maybe if we gave you more time on the show to show us your musical abilities. What were we talking about?
Eddie was going to try and...
Yeah. You all set, Eddie?
Yes, I guess so.
Do you know the words and everything?
No.
Do you want a music stand now for your words or for the drum? Or?
No, I won't.
Do you want to sit down and play the drum?
I have my assistant drummer, Lloyd, with me.
I have that.
Say hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Lloyd.
See, when I do the singing the songs, why, Lloyd accompanies me.
Oh, I see. Okay, then, Lloyd, if you would, please.
I'm going to say Santa Claus is coming to town.
Right,
so it's okay, Lloyd. You better not shout. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town.
Great, Eddie, so far. You sound a little like Jimmy Cagney. Go on.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake.
You know, you sound like Jimmy Cagney.
What's that, Lloyd?
I don't know. I say
Lloyd
like...
said I sound like Jimmy Cagney.
Jimmy Cagney, you sound like.
Well, that's all I know of the song, anyway.
Oh, well, I'll just wrap it up with a little roll.
Right. Thanks, Lloyd.
Well, thank you all. Very nice indeed. And you do have a little Jimmy Cagney there. Just a, I detected just a bit of it.
Just a hint
of it. And now, celebrity chases. Dramatized incidents in the lives of people who have been touched by others more elegant and well-known than themselves.
Taxi. Taxi, over here.
Where to, mister? Where you going?
Back up to where I'm standing, driver. There's plenty of room for you to park.
Well, can't you walk up here, mister?
Before you overshot me by a good 30 feet.
Oh, for Pete's sake, all right. Stay where you are. I'll back up.
Yeah, that's better.
For you it is, mister.
Can't seem to open the door here, driver.
Well, are you pressing on the handle?
Yes, and I don't seem to be getting anywhere.
Well, pull up on it like you're supposed to. Up, up.
No, good. It doesn't work. Maybe you can lean over from the front seat and reach the inside handle.
No, I've tried that lots of times. My hands fall short by about 9 inches. Why should it be any different today?
Well, can't you get out and open the door for me?
Why?
No. None of that, now.
You want me to get out of this cab? That's
right. I want you to get out and open the door.
All right. I'll get out. You look like the kind of guy that might report me.
No, you're the first taxi driver I've ever seen on a sidewalk. Now, would you mind opening the door?
Didn't look very hard, did it, mister? Now, get in. That's it.
I'd like to go to,
All right. What you do with it?
Do with what?
When I got out of the cab just now, my tip card was laying right in the seat next to me. It had a rubber band around it, the pencil underneath the rubber band. What you do with it?
Well, what do I want all that stuff for?
Look, I'll turn out the lights in the cab. You put it back, and we'll forget it ever happened.
Well, what use would I have for your trip card?
Look, somebody had it. Take it. Why would I want to steal my old trip card? I use it all the time.
Well, maybe the last passenger you had in your cab took it for some reason.
Oh, yeah? You know who was in this taxi before you?
Who?
Walter Slezak. Now, you tell me. What use would a fine gentleman like that have for a trip card?
I will be back with an appropriate word in just 10 seconds.
And now the appropriate word would seem to be so long for now. And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding, reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott, till Monday, reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Have a nice weekend. This is the CBS Radio Network.